Welcome again to Harmony Toluca Lake. We're so glad that you chose us to worship with you this morning. Let's continue singing with I Can Sing of Your Love Forever. You may take your seats. We're going to keep worshiping. Feel free to continue to sing along with us. The song says, God is simply mighty to save. So please feel free to sing from your seats.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty.
part out with us.
Savior, ye can move the mountains.
Sing it out.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Forever.
Forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You're my Savior. You can move the mountains. God, you are mighty to save. You are mighty to save. Forever. Author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, you conquered the grave.
A little show and tell today. What is Mark up to? All right. So this morning, this fine, beautiful, wonderful morning in which we begin weekly worship services, and who knows what else is coming down the pike, because you know there is some awesome, some crazy, there's some challenges, there's excitement, and sometimes all that is going to be right together. And I want to give thanks. We give thanks for this opportunity to start something new. This ministry here at as a multi-site of Hollywood United Methodist Church. And that's begun through death and resurrection. And we're grateful for what was, for what is, and what is to be. So today we step up. We're stepping up. We're going to live into who we are to be, not only as a community of faith. We're going to be a thriving community of faith, taking it step by step, sometimes slowly, and then sometimes full gallop. Nonetheless, we move forward fully into living with whom? Christ. Yes, indeed, Christ who shows us the way. So many individuals since the time of Jesus have been inspired by his words, his directions, and his actions, the divine yet human Son of God, our Creator, and one of those persons was the founder of Methodism, of the United Methodist Church, to whom we must give a nod, and that person would be John Wesley. Yes, John Wesley, old gray conservative Brit John Wesley. Actually, not so much. He was courageous and outrageous. Yes, indeed. Much has been written about John Wesley. He's quite the interesting fellow. And one day, I'm hoping in the coming months, there's this excellent, it's a six-week study class, and it's called Revival, and it traces his history through England. And so I'm hoping that we get to do that together. Well, today, though, I only want to share a part, just a part of Wesley's story, because his story becomes and is actually our story. And this is important because the message that Wesley delivered back in the day is as relevant then as it is now. Hence, this is the title of today's message, A Wesleyan Way of Living. And it's going to start us off, this is part one of a four-part series, sermon series. So this morning I'm going to provide an overview, some highlights about John Wesley, as well as something that he practiced and he taught is called Three Simple Rules. And we'll have that book available later after this worship service and also next week. A very thin book written by Bishop Reuben P. Job. And so I'm only going to touch on those rules, though, because over the next three Sundays we'll explore that more fully, because that's the way for us to live as followers of Christ. And then I'm going to close today's message with a scriptural passage from the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, and that's significant to us here at Harmony Toluca Lake, to this campus specifically. But let's begin with John Wesley. Now, this wasn't a man born into leisure. He wasn't some fellow that was living high on the hog type of pastor. No, it was none of that. Wesley was born in 1703. He was born into a poverty-stricken family, and actually this family was large, but it wasn't without sorrow, because the family, only 9 of the 19 children survived infancy. That's, wow. And yet the woe is me mindset was not on the agenda of his father Samuel, who was a clergyman for the Church of England, or of his mother Susanna. I love this about Susanna because there's none of that in this spiritually instructed household. Susanna homeschooled all of the children. I'm emphasizing all. That was the boys and the girls. So they were already ahead of their time. And John excelled under his mother's tutelage. And by his teenage years, he was well-versed in Latin and in Greek, this poverty-stricken family. And that led to John's eventual acceptance into Christ College, Oxford. So after graduation, several years after he graduated, at the behest of his brother, younger brother Charles, they formed a group, yes, the Wesley brothers. They formed a group at Christ Church, which John led, for the purpose of studying the pursuit of a devout Christian life, and that was otherwise known as holy living. Well, this small group, and you're going to see where I'm leading on this small group was organized, rational, and reasoned. This approach toward faith was intense in its prayer and its study and discipline, and it often they were the intensity of their rational, reasoned faith. Well, the group was often the object of ridicule by others, other students. They were mockingly dubbed as the Holy Club, or even better, they were known as Methodists. Well, it goes to show us that sometimes we can actually thank our mockers for their ridicule, which then thereby inspires us to greater things. Well, ultimately, John became an ordained priest in the Church of England, and it's best to view him, I love this part, it's best to view John as a reformer. Now, why would I say this? Because in the grand scheme of life, church history is all about never-ending reformation. And so during this time, John experienced this moment of revelation in which his heart was strangely warmed. And in so doing, he changed his preaching style to one of personal salvation. And I had mentioned this in May at one of our preview services, that he went beyond the walls of the church. He went out into the markets and into the streets and into the coal fields and into the the fields and the coal mines. And he took the seed of what he had done at Christ Church, and he formed small group gatherings, which Jen had mentioned about the Wesleyan small groups, and trained lay preachers to keep these groups going. And that particular move, it didn't go over well with the Church of England, because he was ignoring the regulations of the Anglican Church. An effort was then organized to discredit John because he was leading people astray. And that's what the church said. And they were so angry about this, the Church of England, that they actually forbid him to share the message of Christ at other local churches. Well, that eventually backfired because it caused intrigue among the people and a movement took hold. John took things into his own hands, and I want you to get this. This is awesome. During his lifetime, John Wesley rode over 250,000 miles, gave away 30,000 pounds of British coin, and preached over 40,000 sermons. That's amazing. So eventually, this Methodism found its way over to the colonies, over the pond, by church planters who were unauthorized by the Church of England. It was part of the revolution that took place, and although Wesley, he didn't want to break away from the Anglican Church after his death. Well, there was no turning back. These were Methodists, and they split from the Church of England, and the rest is history, of which this church community is a part. Now, I've just given you a very, very, very cursory Cliff Notes version of John Wesley and early Methodist history, and I know you're going to walk away going, whew, I got that down. Mm. Now, there's a lot of great stuff, though, to share. There are some crazy stories about John Wesley, but we're just not going to do that today. But I do want to briefly mention the Wesley movement, in which three simple rules were adopted as a way of living. And I want you to clearly understand there's no mistake about this. These three simple rules have the power to change the world. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. Today, my friends, we live in a world that is fast and furious. It's turbulent. It constantly feels like we're on shifting sand. And most of all, it's complex. This world we live in is so complex. It's divided in numerous ways and all sorts of ways. Just, pick a topic. The visions grow deeper day by day. we have communities and nations at each other's throat. We have religious folks and denominations. They're divided over beliefs and doctrine. And even our own families, even our own families suffer under the stresses and pressures of politics and today's culture. And all of this had me wondering when I was writing this sermon, if we're true followers of Christ in this definitely messy world, how are we supposed to live it out as Christians? And then as I'm reflecting even more about this, if we actually take this Christian thing seriously, how do our lives enhance the lives of others? Because isn't that supposed to go hand in hand? What if we ourselves adopted these three simple rules individually and collectively? Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. And we know these rules were set forth by John Wesley, and they greatly impacted women and men and children, the marginalized, the disenfranchised, the poor, even the rich. These rules ultimately formed a movement, and that formed a denomination, which then transformed a nation, these United States, and history does tell us this, and that has also helped transform the world. Three simple rules have the power to change the world, and they have the power to change us, to be reformed and renewed. And that's worth exploring, and that's what we're going to do over the next three Sundays. So this renewal and transformation with Christ at the center of our lives led me to today's scripture focus, and it's Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And I'm reflecting about this passage, and I was inspired to form an adaptation, one of those moments for me. And I want us to read this aloud together. So let's do this now as it's up on the screen. As holy and beloved children of God, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We are to accept everyone, and just as Christ has forgiven us, we must also forgive. Above all, we are to clothe ourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule our hearts, because we have been called into the one body, and we are thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in us abundantly. We are to teach and hold each other accountable in all wisdom. With gratitude in our hearts, we lift up prayers, and we sing hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever we do, in word or deed, let us do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, all the while giving thanks to our Creator through Him. Amen. This passage from Colossians was a letter that was written by Paul, most likely, to the church in Colossae. It was written in the 50s while he was in prison. And Paul uses the metaphor of clothing, and it actually ties in well with the baptism that we did today, this thing of clothing, taking off the old, putting on the new. And I was mulling over the metaphor, and I was thinking, well, what coat do I wear? What coat do we wear? And I was thinking, well, you know, the coat of the world, the coat of culture, and then, well, what coats have I worn over my lifetime? And Paul challenges us here in this passage. He says, I want you to take off what you're wearing. Put it aside. Because that coat that you've been wearing has no more use in your life. Okay, now I want you to put this on, this magnificent coat, this clothing designed by Christ and worn by Christ. Now, what does that clothing feel like? Because I ask, how does it feel? Because with this change of clothing, this new coat, some persons are going to consider that you, one, that you have no fashion sense, and the second one, that you just have no sense at all. Well, I'm wearing Karl Lagerfeld. I'm wearing Tom Ford. Well, I'm wearing Raf Simons. Well, I'm wearing Zuhar Murad. What are you wearing? I'm wearing Jesus Christ. Ooh, right? And we're asked to put on this different type of clothing, one that places emphasis on how we connect and relate to one another in a deeper level. And it starts with compassion And it builds from there to these other relational virtues, which you read about. And taking it a step further, that connection creates community. And when you create community, conflicts are going to arise. It always does in community. And many times with the very person with whom we're closest, and that can be family members, spouses, significant others, dear ones, friends. And that's why the inclusion of the verse on forgiveness, which is anything but easy, and so I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard Version, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. The work of reconciliation within the family of faith. Yet what truly binds us together? The virtue? Love. Verse 14 tells us, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If we have love, if we live in love, no matter what issues or problems arise, because they are going to arise and they will, we are held together in an unbreakable bond of fellowship if we have love. So I want to go back to this clothing metaphor. We're told in verses 12 and 14 to put on clothing, right? We're to put on the clothing. That's an outside change. But in verse 15, what occurs? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. By accepting the invitation to put on new clothing and doing so, transformation, a metamorphosis occurs, an inside change in our hearts. And that's not just a, you know, I sort of feel different. No, that's the, whoa, something's going on here. And then it's not just a, huh, you know, you there's something about you that looks a little different. No. It's what's going on with you, because you seem so at, like, peace. With those deep changes, we share and we're real with one another. We learn and we grow in wisdom. We teach and impart that wisdom. We hold each other accountable and we forgive. We're part of a checks and balances system of community for those accountants in the room. And we see life with new eyes. Our hearts grow in gratitude and we sing to God. Ooh, yes indeed, worship leader, we do sing to God, right? Amen. And we live out our faith in word and deed, making the world a better place. Doing no harm. Doing no harm. That's courageous. Healing those who are broken and hurting, which includes ourselves. Doing good, that's outrageous. Providing them with a place of community, to be part of a community, extending that invitation, all the while giving thanks to Jesus Christ, to God our Creator, and thereby staying in love with God. I want you to notice that swirl action occurring there, because the congregation, it isn't passive. It isn't a one-note, feed me, community of faith. We're not the, well, I'm one and done for the week. I've attended worship with God. Those kind of people, right? No. All of us actively share in the Word of Christ, and we embody the Word of Christ. Therein lies the challenges of the community here at Harmony Toluca Lake, because from the very outset, you can ask any of the leadership team members, when we began to meet, Colossians 3, 12 through 17, that became our church campus's scriptural passage. A version adapted from these verses is written on the chalk wall in Fellowship Hall. Who we are, who we were, is not who we are to be. Each day we are to dress ourselves in Christ with thanksgiving. The word of Christ thereby flourishes and thrives in our hearts and our minds, and then bears glorious fruit, glorious, glorious fruit among us. Not for selfish purposes, but for selfless purposes in which we love our neighbor. I'm excited and I'm thrilled to be pastor here at this community of faith at Harmony Toluca Lake, to be part of this new thing, this new ministry, part of the Wesleyan Methodist movement. But even more so, and I mentioned this to Rev. Nicole at the clergy convocation, because I had my aha moment. It only took me a little while. How many years, Mark? I am overjoyed to be living fully into the Jesus movement. What's before us is amazing. And in all of this, we are to be thankful. So I want you to remember this as I close today's message. Thankfulness is both a gift to God in the church, to the church in Jesus Christ, and the response that the church brings to God. Amen.
We want to thank you again for joining us in worship today. We hope that you were blessed by the service. It's been a long time coming till we get to these weekly services, so we're very honored that you decided to worship with us this morning. If you feel like you want to be a part of the leadership team, whatever your gift is, whether it's musical, administrative, or you just make a mean cup of coffee, we have a place for you here. So please join us as we sing this last song. Put your hands together, come on.
Always and again I say.
so you remember to pass the peace of Christ on your way out. And have a wonderful afternoon.
Like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning.